Perek Daled, Mishnah Beis. A person may even insulate with materials that are in fact muksa. And this Mishnah discusses how to handle food that was insulated with a muksa material, and how to recover food that was originally covered and insulating cold materials. Tomlin Bashlachim, a person would be permitted to insulate hot foods with pelts of fur. Metagalinosam. And you may even remove them, because you could use them to sit on, you could use them as a bench, as a carpet. Beginzei tzemer, ve'ein metadlin osam. You may, in fact, use a tamana, you can actually insulate using ginzei tzemer, but since they don't really have anything, they have no functionality besides this tamana dimension to them, and therefore there's an isser of totu. One may not be permitted to carry them. So that's the case, ketzad hu osam. How should one remove the insulating materials of access to one's food? One has to be slightly creative. No tel esakisui vehein no flows. If you take off the lid, by removing the lid, this insulating material of ginzei tzemer, of these wool shearings, will fall to the ground. Rabbi Lezer ben Azarya Omer, kupa matal tzira vinotel. Just tilt the basket on its sides and then remove the food that way. Shema yuto v'ino yachol lahachzir. Because otherwise, perhaps if you remove the pot, you'd be unable to replace it if it falls to the ground. However, Chachamim omrim, no telu machzir. Chachamim say, no. You may, in fact, remove it and even replace the pot on Shabbos. What exactly is Rabbi Elazar ben Azarya suggesting? He's suggesting the following, that a person, when he took the basket in which he preserved the pot on its side, you take from the food inside the pot the amount of food that is needed for this meal, and he would leave the rest of the pot for another meal. But he may not take the pot from the basket. Why? He has to take it out and be unable to put it back. For if he will take out the pot, the wool shearings might fall from each side into a now empty depression, and he'll not be able to empty out the depression or replace the pot within it, because moving these shearings is prohibited. And since we are afraid that he will move these shearings to return the pot, it's prohibited to remove the pot from the basket that was contained therein. Chachamim say, no, it's not a problem. You may take and you may even put it back. What is the Gemara here explains that the Chachamim mean to tell us that it's permitted to take the pot from the basket. They're not worried that the depression, the space where the food is removed, will be filled in. If, however, the space, this depression, will become filled in, then even Chachamim will agree that it would be asur, it would be prohibited to return the pot, and in fact the halacha follows the Chachamim. However, if he did not cover the food during the day, if this individual, lo kisel mi bon yom, lo yichasenu mi she teich shach, he didn't cover it when it was still daytime, he didn't cover it before Shabbat started, he was forbidden to cover it, he'd be forbidden to cover the pot on Shabbos itself, because it is usher to atumana, even if you're being shomer the home, even if you wish just to maintain the heat level, the temperature, you cannot do so on Shabbos, only before Shabbos. Kisal v'nizgala, mutar lechasoso. If you covered and it became uncovered, it's permissible to cover it again on Shabbos itself. Mimale es hakison v'nosin l'sachas hakar o sachas hakesas. A person is permitted to fill a bottle and place it under a cushion or under a pillow on Shabbos. If what person would like to fill a jug with cold water, and you want to ensure that it remains cold, you'd be permitted to place it under a pillow or under a cushion on Shabbos. Perkei Mishnah Aleph. The Torah tells us, Shishas Yomim Tase Masecha Yamashvi Tishpos L'man Yanuach Shorcha. From here we learn that a person is mitzuveh, a person is commanded of Shvitas Behemso B'Shabbos, person is commanded to ensure that one's animal does not do malacha on Shabbos. The most common form of malacha that animals did during the times of the Mishnah was carrying and transporting objects. Any object that is normal for an animal to wear, to protect, or to control, is permissible to be worn on Shabbos, as long as it is attached well so that it will not fall off. Additionally, it can't be an object that makes it look like the animal is being brought to the market to be sold. Our Mishnah teaches us that objects that are normal to be used to control an animal and are therefore permitted to be worn in a Rishus HaRabim, a public domain, on Shabbos. Our Mishnah begins, Vame behima yotza uvama einah yotza. With what may an animal go out? And with what may it not go out to the public domain to Rishus HaRabim? What is deemed normal? Yotza hagamal v'asfar. A camel may go out with a rope tied around the mouth. The nakava chatam. A fast female camel may go out with a nose ring. The luvdakis baf ruvmiya. A wild Libyan donkey with a mouth bit. The sus basher. A horse with a collar, a chain around its neck. V'chol ba'alei hasher. And all that wear a collar around their neck, such as hunting dogs, may go out on Shabbos with a rein fixed in the chain. Yotzim Basher, they can go out with these collars and leashes. Nimshachim Basher, may be pulled with a collar or a leash around their neck. Since this is the normal manner in which they go out, this is not considered to be a masa, it's not considered to be a load. And they can be led with a strap in the chain, because this is the way they are in fact controlled. It is not considered to be something which is deemed inappropriate, and hence forbidden to be placed on the animal when in the public domain in Rishus HaRabim. These extra pieces of material, this collar, this leash, which the strap, which they're often led with, let's say if they were to become tame, if they were to become impure, if they came in contact with a dead body, and rendering these chains and these collars tame, one would be permitted to have the animal immersed in a mikvah or to sprinkle the ashes and the para aduma onto the animal while it was wearing these chains and these collars, as long as it was not too tightly fitted to the animal. And even though, generally speaking, such items that are animal equipment were not susceptible to tuma, of to uncleanliness, nonetheless, this chain and other similar gear are susceptible to tuma and would in fact require immersion in a mikvah. Why? Because since a person is able to lead an animal by the chains and by the collar, it really becomes an item used for man, and therefore are susceptible to the laws of tuma, of uncleanliness. And as long as the entire item is immersed in the mikvah, it would then become tahor, it would then become pure once again. Without going into too much detail, the laws of tuma v'tahara, basically what we see from here is that these items are considered almost needed for the animal, used for humans to be able to transport them, and therefore they are not considered additional, and for work purposes they could go out with Rishus HaRabim. At the same time, however, the only caveat is they are susceptible to becoming tame, but they can be purified relatively easily using the methods of sprinkling ashes of Parah Aduma and immersing in the mikvah,